And now, the Bill Henry Show. That was me pretending I was Ross Mitchell, which I've done many, many, many nights. And Ross is a good man, and I know that Ross is a close personal friend. And so when we start back in with our Art Bell bits, he's going to be okay with that. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Some very bizarre news today. One of the pieces of news that came before us was this story about the current leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who had his ex-girlfriend, a famous singer in North Korea, machine-gunned. This is how they operate their firing squads in North Korea. I don't know. Firing squads are a little bit of a thing of the past. I think that there are a couple of states here in the United States that actually still have the firing squad. Well, maybe not as a form of capital punishment. Utah used to, but I digress. He had his ex-girlfriend put to death by firing squad, along with 11 other popular performers in North Korea. Can you imagine this? And the crime was performing in and promoting pornography. She was in some pornographic tapes alleged by the North Korean government. Some of these made it across the border into China. I don't know if that was the problem, that the fact they got out of North Korea and somehow found an international market, and that's okay. Now you're that's a death penalty. But nonetheless, it was very, very it was disturbing. I mean, it truly was. And I try to apply that here to the United States. Vernon Dozier is with us. Vernon, I know that you've been married three times, and we're on to talk about the minimum wage, but you said you did want to weigh in on this.
Well, I do, Phil, and the reason I want to weigh in on it is because you're right. I was married to a beautiful woman, Susan, who passed on because of cancer 7 years ago.
Yeah, my continued sympathies for that.
I appreciate it. I married very briefly. It was a rebound situation with another woman, and then I finally, settled here on Clarice. But the other gal, who I'm constrained against mentioning, was on a news program. I know I saw her on a television show recently.
Well, you say news program. Wasn't it Investigation Discovery?
It was. It was Investigation Discovery. It was not a news show. I guess it was one of these documentaries.
Right.
And it was a documentary about a woman who was selling photographs of herself engaged in absolutely depraved behavior, and it was my ex-wife. Now, she knows that she was married to me, so that if she's got herself up on television...
Which she didn't put herself there. The story revolved around her selling these pictures, right?
That is true, but again, we have civil action now in this country, Phil, and if there are lawyers listening, I know they'll back me up on this. We have civil action in this country now where you can sue for the wrongful death of a person. You can sue for injury. And I believe that you should be allowed to sue for a defamation of your character due to association with an individual like my second wife, who, again, I'm letting your audience know I cannot mention her. My attorney's advised not to mention her.
Okay.
Selling photographs, online of herself involved in depraved behavior.
Can you tell us what that is?
I can tell you that it involved some very, very depraved actions with animals.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go any further, but I've had more people come up to me and say, didn't I see so-and-so, your ex, on television? And they were talking about these French postcards. And I said, what do you mean by French postcard? They said, well...
That's an old term. That's an antiquated term. It means sort of sexual... portraits and pictures, right?
That is correct, yeah. And they said that she was involved in some French postcards with her and, they said animals. I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely... And there's a certain part of me that could believe it, and that's where I got in trouble with her attorney. I said, it doesn't surprise me. And he said, well, then why should you sue? I said, it's a figure of speech there, counselor, but nonetheless...
When you were married to her, was this kind of behavior something that you were suspecting?
I didn't suspect that she was out selling postcards. I didn't suspect that at all, Phil.
Is she actually selling postcards?
Well, I was told French postcards. And
well, what does that mean, French? I know what the old term of French postcard.
Well, the French postcards are things that are sold not online. They're not sold in stores. They're literally sold out on the street. In other words, you peddlers, people, if you walk through Times Square in New York, if you walk any busy tourist street in any major city in America, there's always people that are selling things. There's people that are painting pictures of you, people that are... You told me that you and your family had your portraits done on the corner there in New York, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so there's always people that are selling something. And these French postcards of Bayek with a... there was a kennel club involved that I think has been since shut down, and they're going to be part of this lawsuit.
A kennel club for dogs.
That is correct, yeah. So, and that's my name, Dozier, and she was using her married name when she was selling French postcards, associating herself with a major kennel club, and here she is with no clothes on, and this is so I said to my attorney that, can you not sue for damages when it comes to your reputation? So absolutely, and so that's what we're going to do.
All right, so you're going to file a civil action not unlike the kinds that are filed by people who have suffered grievous bodily injury. This is a civil action. It's not a criminal action. It's party to party.
That is correct.
And it will be, or not unlike what people file when there is wrongful death, this will be, by association, she is defaming you.
Using my name, yeah. And
well, now, you've just used your last name here.
I understand that, Phil, but it doesn't matter. She's, you know, my attorney said not to use her first name. Well, he might have meant not to use her last name, and I haven't used her last name.
But you used your last name, and she's using that, right?
Well, she's using it on these postcards, yeah. I guess you would have to be, I think you've got to look and see. I don't know. My attorney said don't use her last name.
All right, well, her last name is your name, and I don't want to bring this to a major bummer here.
Well, I guess I got caught unawares there. I would say that, you know, come what may, then I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if she finds that to be, look, she's using your name. You're not supposed. Your attorney has advised you not to use her name.
Yeah, I can't use her name, but she's out there selling French postcards, or whoever she's got selling these French postcards. You know, you usually hire a few people from the neighborhood. You give them a couple of bucks and tell them to go out and wave them as tourists go by.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to do. I can certainly understand the peddling of different kinds of trinkets and touristy things and souvenirs, and as you said, the sketching of portraits. You see that all the time everywhere you go. The selling of pornographic materials and in New York City, which has been really has cracked down on all that kind of behavior, seems gutsy. And I'm not surprised she got arrested.
Well, this involved more, though. This involved four kennel clubs in the eastern part of the United States, the remnants of a circus.
What exactly? We're talking about animal cruelty, huh?
Well, yes, and I made a joke, and I shouldn't have, when Bill Doudell had called me, and he said, you know, what's going on with your ex? I said, yeah. He says, it's animal cruelty. I said, yeah, you can say it. You can say that again. I'll bet it's animal cruelty, you know, if you... You just, and he didn't think that was funny, and in retrospect, I didn't think it was funny. But I think of my ex and what she was, and her in French postcards with what's left of a zoo.
A zoo?
I'm sorry, a circus. It doesn't surprise me at all that there was cruelty to those animals.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. We're going to be back. We're actually going to talk about minimum wage here, right, Margaret?
Well, yes. He wanted to talk. I have to tell you, this conversation, unless it's leading somewhere, is really sickening me. But yes, he did want to talk about the minimum wage because that's how he has spent this summer as a teacher, and I think it's very important.
All right, we're going to talk with Vernon Dozier here when we come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show about the minimum wage, which, yes, there's a lot of teachers that have to take second jobs, third jobs, what have you, fourth jobs, I don't know. And there's a lot of them that do that because they have to make ends meet. And we're going to talk with Vernon about this new minimum wage that is being proposed. Or not new minimum wage. It's the same old minimum wage, $15 an hour. The fast food workers of America in various cities went on strike and went out and protested in favor of that $15 an hour wage. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. Vernon Dozier joins us. He is a high school teacher in Southern California, and not unlike a lot of high school teachers elsewhere in the country, had spent a good part of this summer working a second job because the job, well, because the money just isn't there right now. And you've taught for a long time at Belmar Academy, correct, Vernon?
I have, Phil. I've taught since 1987 when Belmar Academy at that time was only about 3 years old.
That's a long time. And you've been coaching football?
Yeah, I coach the varsity football team.
And you've been successful with that?
Oh, very successful. Very, very grateful for the good success we've had with the varsity there. But still, you know, it is a private school and a private. It is a private school, Phil, and as such is one that is is run by a Catholic diocese of Los Angeles. They are, you know, I'm Catholic. I am now. I converted to Catholicism when I got this job. And, of course, it's a private school, so I thought that I would have an opportunity to make a kind of a wage, I think, that would be, you know, befitting a guy like myself who is teaching high school history, teaching social sciences. I'm coaching the varsity football team. I'm helping out administration, helping out with some of the parent-teacher duties and some of those things. And instead, what's happened is we've had to scale back. I haven't taken a pay cut, but I certainly have had to scale back. And the school knows this. You know, they know that they pay you a certain amount of money, and you begin to you know, anticipate that the raise will come because you earned it. So I had to sell a boat, not a big boat, but I had to sell a boat. I had to sell a home. Which was up here at the Solana Beach, and so it's tough.
And now you're working, or not now, but you were this summer at a fast food restaurant.
I was. I had talked to you once before. I'd worked at Subway, and I was working at McDonald's this summer, and it's quite a humiliating. And there's nothing wrong with McDonald's. I want you to know McDonald's is a fine organization as far as it goes, but I'm a teacher. And for me to come on a radio program and talk about how, you know, okay it was to work at McDonald's, it hurts.
All right, I got a phone call here from a Jimmy Burdock.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I do.
And is he the brother of your ex-wife?
Yeah, he is.
All right, he called up because he wanted to talk to you about...
I can't. I'm constrained from talking about certain things. I mean, Jimmy wants to come on here and talk with me about the issue with his sister. He can do that, but again, I cannot talk about what her name is. Or anything like that, if you understand that.
All right. Well, now we have her maiden name. Now we have her. So all what we don't have is her first name. You know.
All right. Well, that's fine. I mean, that's on Jimmy. If he wants to come on and he wants to give his name, his sister is going to be the one that's going to be.
All right, Jimmy, you there?
Hey, Vernon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, Jimmy. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really good. And greetings from the Burdock side of the family.
Well, I'm not a member of your family anymore.
Well, that's right. I know you're not, but I understand you want to sue my sister.
Yes, I am going to sue her, Jimmy.
Well, you know that she loved you very much, and that when she did, you know, eventually did see you with that teenage girl, it shocked her.
Yeah, and that teenage girl was 18 years of age.
Okay, Vernon, whatever you say.
No, it's not whatever I say. She was 18 years of age. Otherwise, I would have been arrested by now, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who you know down there in California. But I want to tell you something, Vernon. Whatever Karen had to do...
Now, you just given her first name. So what we have here, Phil...
Hey, nobody told me anything. You got a lawyer telling you things. That's fine. You do what your lawyer tells you to do. I do what my lawyer tells me to do.
All right, but gentlemen, can I jump in here?
Let me
jump in, Mr. Burdock.
Yes, sir.
Let's avoid at possibility the mentioning of names. I don't know what it is that lawyers tell each other or what you guys have been told by your attorneys. Let's just not use her name, okay?
Well, I'm okay with that, but I'm just, you know, for informational reasons.
I was told by my attorney not to mention names, and here comes her brother. You know, Jimmy, you're just the same guy. And
you know what? You're the same guy, too. You know, you don't have no respect for anyone. You don't have no...
I've got plenty of respect for people... Look, your sister's the one that was photographed And your sister's the one that had dealings with some of the people at the Bernoble Circus and some of the people there at the Western Pennsylvania Zoo, which I will not mention that one.
I know the zoo very well. I've gone there to relax.
Well, great. I'm glad you've gone there to relax because your sister had business dealings with a zoo, a circus, and three kennels. And all of this having to do with filth. Absolute filth.
Whatever my sister did, she had to do because of the desperate situation. I want to say a statement, Mr. Henry, if I could.
There was no, I will not allow him to say that. There was no desperate situation I left her in. No desperate situation at all. I'm fully employed. She got spousal support, according to the court.
Yeah, well, spousal support for 6 months and you stopped paying. Is that not correct?
I was paying it.
And you did stop. Is that not correct?
You know.
Look, guys, I have to interrupt. Where is this going to go here? I've got him on talking about minimum wage, Mr. Burdock, and not about this issue with your sister.
Well, I think that I will say this, then. I'm going to hang up the phone. I am very much in favor of a minimum wage because it's going to get this former brother-in-law of mine to begin to become a man and pay what the court and the state orders.
I'm all the man you're ever going to need.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. I mean, that sounds very generous of you, but I like women.
You know something?
All right. We'll just go ahead and keep Vernon on the line here. That was your former brother-in-law, huh?
And some things never change. Some things never change. And you can tell by the man's manner, you can tell by the accent that they're Easterners, and you can also tell by the accent and his command of the English language, they're not only Easterners, but they come from a population pool of Easterners that find it easier to hijack trucks.
All right, let's stop right here, okay?
Hold
on, let's just stop and let's not even go there. Let's just stop and let's talk about the minimum wage at McDonald's.
Well, he made a comment there, Phil, that I'd like to address.
Regarding what?
Regarding the fact that he hopes the minimum wage is increased so I can man up. I paid that woman the spousal support she was entitled to for 6 months. I was supposed to pay it for 7 years. There's a dispute because when I saw her making the kind of money she was making on my name as she's selling French postcards, and there are three kennel clubs.
All right, I don't think that is an income that one can necessarily claim as legitimate. As a matter of fact, it's illegal. I think you have to claim even illegally gotten gains on your income tax, but obviously she didn't. So that's not going to be anything, I think, recognized by the government, do you think?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. All I know is that I was told that I owed spouse. She's making a very good living. All right, you don't want to see three.
I got three kennel clubs and a zoo.
Three kennel clubs?
Hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
He's keeping track of what...
You don't have to keep track.
Well, three kennel club and a zoo and not a zoo, a circus. Yeah, it's a three kennel club, a circus.
And a zoo.
All right, are we all done keeping track of that? Because we don't want to talk about that anymore.
You're telling me that I don't get to talk about that?
No, I want you to talk about if it has something to do with the minimum wage.
Well, it does, Phil, and
all right, so let's shift now. We're talking about minimum wage, and to that extent, or to that effect, I would like to take a moment just to get my audience up to speed, because we've got a couple of stories on this. There were a number of protests across the country today by fast food workers who are interested in seeing that minimum wage elevated to the level of $15 per hour. Workers backed by the SEIU rally in an estimated 60 cities calling for union representation and a wage of $15 an hour. So they want workers to be unionized, fast food workers to be... I have to be honest with you, I'm surprised that they're not. But Thursday night, there was a big, big effort, 60 protests outside 1,000 stores. All right, we're going to get back to that and talk about that and more with Vernon Dozier, who is one of the fast food workers that's interested in the, as I say, in this new $15 an hour minimum wage. Now, the interesting thing is he's also a high school teacher, a guy who he says, you know, he needs the money. And to the extent that he needs that money, he's out protesting, looking for that increase in funds. I don't want to talk, I don't want to talk any more about the sister and the zoo, and I don't want anybody keeping track, okay?
Well, Phil, here's...
Yeah, right here.
Give me that, will you?
That's mine, not yours. Give me...
What do you got?
I've got a report. I've got three zoos here.
Do I have a kennel club?
Three kennel clubs.
What are you interested in that for?
Because I'm interested in it. There. Enough said.
Good for you. All right, so anyway, we will be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I'm losing track of things here, bud, because of you and that kennel club and that zoo and...
No, that's her kennel club. She's got a vested interest in it, too.
So she has ownership.
Yeah.
All right, the world-famous... You better get on the phone. Is Vernon know this, that his wife not only was performing with them? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And turn that stupid Sammy Hagar off. World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this thing. And we got Vernon Dozier with us, who is a teacher, a high school teacher from Glendale, California. All right, so what we're talking about here is the minimum wage. And as I mentioned, Vernon, the story here, it's an interesting story. $15 an hour demanded by fast food workers who are not unionized. Organizers of the effort bankrolled largely by the SEIU union and promoted by a slew of community groups and community organizers said it was the largest protest ever to hit the fast food industry. So, were you out there?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, I was working because we're back in school now, but I certainly was watching the results. I'm still working part-time at the McDonald's here in southern Glendale, but I will be quitting that job very, very shortly as the school year gets amped up to 100%.
So do you? But what I'm saying is, do you support this strike?
Well, it's difficult for me. On the one hand, I'd like to see the fast food money get elevated. On the other hand, I don't really like unions. But then on the other hand, you just heard my ex-wife's brother, who is not the brightest bulb on the tree, I'll give you that much, and that guy makes a lot of money. I don't know how he makes his money. I'm not going to intimate anything. He certainly makes more money than me, and he's calling up a talk show that I'm on, and I'm here to talk about minimum wage, and he's talking about his sister, who has been, was arrested and featured on one of these TV shows, selling French postcards with her, you know, on them, doing things with animals that had been, up to that point, performing in a circus. Now, do you understand, Mr. Henry?
All right, are we getting back to that, though? See, I wanted to kind of move away from that.
Well, no, but it's all involved, because if I don't address her and her circus animals, then I have to find a way to continue to pay the spousal support that I owe her, and that means another 3 or 4 years at McDonald's. I don't have anything against McDonald's. I think it's a fine organization. And when I tell you that I despise working there, it isn't because I don't like McDonald's. It's that I'm a high school teacher, and I've got to sweat, and I've got to, I have to put out 150% for people that are one quarter my age. Maybe they're elderly. They're coming in from the beach. I have to step and fetch it, excuse my use of the word, for teenage kids and, you know, young ladies who are doing their nails, and I'm grunting and sweating and grinding and putting out everything I've got just so that they can get their, you know, malt.
I understand that this is an affront to your pride.
You better believe it.
I understand that, and I'm sorry for that. And you know, I there was a time in my life when I would probably be even more outraged, but I do know one thing. This is a country that we live in right now, Vernon, which is, you know, I mean, we got to be a little bit more realistic about it. What else is going on out in the world is a hell of a lot worse.
What I don't understand, what's that supposed to mean?
What it means is that the reality of the world is a lot worse than anything that we've got going here in America.
Are you telling me I'm supposed to sit still I got to sit still for a fast food job? While my wife is out there raking it in with French postcards, and her brother, God knows what he does, I'll tell you this much, he spends an awful lot of time down dockside. You understand what I'm saying there, don't you?
No, I don't, and I don't want you to continue to say things that may expose this program or yourself to any kind of slander or libel suit, okay? I mean, if you think the guy is criminal in his enterprise or in his jobs, you may want to address that to the district attorney, not on this program. Well, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. You're telling me that I have to grunt and grind?
No, Vernon...
No, hold on. You're telling me that I gotta grunt and grind and sweat to create an acceptable-looking banana split or ice cream sundae for a 14-year-old girl. And I can tell you, Mr. Andrew, that I have put my heart and my soul into this fast food job so I don't lose it, because there's a million grandmothers out there that are breathing down your neck. I don't know if you know what's going on in the fast food business, but I'm a teacher. I need this extra income. There's a million grandmothers that are bored. There's a million grandfathers that are bored to tears. Uncles, all these retired people, and they're breathing down my neck, and they want that job. So I've got to do what I've got to do to hold on to it. And if that means that I've got to create some kind of an amazing ice cream sundae, you know.
All right, so you're having to really work hard.
Isn't that what we do with our jobs, Vernon?
What is that?
Isn't that what we do in our jobs? We do the very best we can.
Yeah, but I never thought that my life would come to, dear God, don't let me screw up this sundae, because if I do, there's an old lady breathing down my neck.
What do you mean by that? I don't understand an old lady.
You're talking about the old lady take the job.
Yes, I'm talking about the...
Hold on for a minute. Shut up, bud.
Sorry.
I'm talking about an old lady breathing down my neck waiting to take my job. And I got a 14-year-old girl who is bored to tears, doesn't care whether I live or die. All she wants is that ice cream sundae. And I am sculpting it with the love and care that Rodin didn't put into the guy that leans over and with his hand on his chin.
The thinker?
Who's that?
The sculpture, the thinker.
Why are you getting upset?
You're a teacher. You ought to know the name of the sculpture.
Well, Phil, it doesn't matter. This is talk radio. Most people don't even know who Rodin is. They think Rodin is a monster.
Well, that's who it is, right?
No, Rodin was a sculptor. Rodin, R-O-D-A-N, the Japanese Rodin was a giant monster. Rodin was a sculptor, and he made something called the thinker. Okay?
Yeah, it's a nude guy that's thinking.
Yeah, right. It's a nude guy that's thinking. Anyway.
Well, look, man, I don't know what the name of the thing is. You're the guy making a banana split.
I have to make a banana split. I don't think your audience understands me, and I certainly don't want to start taking crap from your staff. Excuse me for saying.
We're not giving you crap. We're asking questions that we're entitled to ask.
All right, hold on for a minute. Yay! Woo! Good job. Man, that's fantastic.
All right, all of the sarcasm is not necessary, Vernon. Not necessary as we try to get to the bottom here of... I don't want to talk anymore about your ex-wife and the legal action, and the fact that you saw her on Investigation Discovery, French postcards, a zoo, kennels. I don't know, man. Okay?
Did you not just put her brother on the air?
Yes, I did, because I was giving you the courtesy of addressing the problem.
So I see it's my problem. Is that it? I'm the guy that started it?
No, Vernon. Phil was being polite and letting you address the problem with the brother who had called in. Now, I don't think you acquitted yourself that poorly. I think the brother sounded like a lummox. He sounded like a meathead. But I think when you start talking about sweating it out to make the perfect banana split for a 14-year-old, you're really running the risk there of some... It gets pornographic. Now...
Wait. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You don't know what I'm talking... He's talking about a banana split.
You know something, Margaret? You got to clean up your mind.
Lady, I have to second that.
I'm a mother. I'm the mother of a 15-year-old boy.
We're talking here about the man... Never mind. Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier?
My name is Dozier, not Jozier.
I understand that. Vernon Dozier with us here on the Phil Hendry Show discussing his job at McDonald's. $15 an hour. Okay, you don't like unions. What would you rather have? Would you rather keep the same amount of money you're making now, or would you rather join a union and allow the union to negotiate on your behalf and to begin this process of collective bargaining on the part of fast food workers?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things I tell my students. Here's my opinion. You can form any opinion you want. My opinion is the opinion of the teacher. Your opinion is your opinion, and that doesn't, when you get down to whose opinion is more important, Is it mine or is it yours? I'm a teacher, you're a student, so whose opinion do you think matters more? So as I sit here and I'm talking to you, and I hear the logic that you use, Phil, and it's pretty good logic, but I'm still the teacher and you're a talk show host. I'm not putting you down for what you do, but I'm telling you that if I have to go down the slippery slope of union membership, this is, I'm going to blame on the fast food and the economy. I'm wearing the uniform of Ronald McDonald. I'm wearing basically a clown outfit. And I, as I said, I'm being forced to humiliate myself, lower myself to the level of caring about how I sculpt and shape an ice cream sundae.
I've never heard of such a thing. What are you talking about? Are you talking about how it's presented?
Yeah, the way they present on a tray may look good.
That's right, because a lot of people had complained that when they look at the picture of the ice cream sundae and the one they get, they don't look the same. Okay. So I take the extra care, figuring it'll keep an old lady from breathing down my neck one more day. I try to make it look like the picture.
All right, that's really good. I don't find any fault with that.
That is, yes, that's taking extra care and concern for your job. I think it's wonderful.
Well, do you think that keeps the old lady from breathing on me? No, because I just saw another three of them today, and I went in there to get my extra pay, and I want to come in on the weekend and maybe get some extra money. And I saw three more of these old ladies coming in, looking at me, winking at me. And breathe on their mirrors. So this is a game, Phil, that...
I don't understand breathing on the mirror.
Breathing down his neck.
Yeah, they're breathing on the mirror, and then they're holding it up to show the fogged-up mirror. This is what we're talking about. And it's only getting worse. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And meanwhile, I got to be the greatest that has ever lived in the history of this country at making a banana split or an ice cream sundae that looks exactly like the one.
All right, we have to take a break. I'm sorry. We'll be right back with Vernon Dozier. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, as he continues discussing here tonight on our program the minimum wage for fast food workers, $15 an hour. Are they going to get it? Are they not going to get it? Is it going to be more? Is it going to be less? And will Vernon Dozier ever get himself out of that fast food gig and begin to pay back the spousal support that he owes his wife and stop sculpting banana splits and ice cream sundaes for 14-year-olds that don't care whether he lives or dies while old ladies breathe down his neck?
What did you say?
Never mind. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 a.m. here on the West, 10 p.m. here on the West Coast, and with us is Vernon Dozier. We also heard from this brother, Burdock. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Jimmy Burdock.
This guy has called back. I don't know what you want to do with this.
I'm telling you that we should hear from him and hear what he has to say. This is something that is very real. It's very dramatic.
Okay, Vernon, did you hear what I was just saying?
Yeah, I heard that Jimmy's called back. I'll talk to him, you know. What does he want to talk about?
Well, he feels that this he wants to get in on the discussion of minimum wage and what it means to his sister's alimony, now that we know what her name is.
You know what? Jimmy is a good guy, but the day hasn't been created yet that Jimmy's brain is anywhere near the match of mine. The day has not been created. The week has not been created. So have at it. It's fine with me.
All right. Our number is 855... 500-7445, 855-500-7445. And a reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, it gives you access to thousands of hours of our archived material. Jimmy, are you there?
Hey, Vernon, yeah. Listen, I heard what you are saying. I think that you are entitled to your opinion when you talk about, and you made a reference to me being mobbed up. Did I hear you say that?
No, you didn't hear me say that, Jimmy. No.
Yeah, I thought I heard that.
No, the host of the show said, the host of the show was asking about that. I didn't say that. And so you got to get the wax cleared out of your ears, okay, Jimmy? And it's no wonder your sister is in the trouble that she's in with the French postcards.
You know, first of all, there's no... will you say a French postcard?
Look, I saw the whole thing on Investigation Discovery.
What is Investigation Discovery? Is that a police department?
No, no, the police department already did their work. Investigation Discovery... It's a TV channel.
Oh, it's a TV program, huh?
It's a TV channel that covers real criminal events.
Well, I don't put no stock in that.
No, you wouldn't, Jimmy. Would you put stock in the possibility that, you know, you could go to jail?
I'm not going to go to jail. You're the guy that's going to go to jail because you have not paid a spousal support.
Hey, look, are you interested in the spousal support because you're still trying to get that baseball card trading store going? Is that it?
I'm interested in justice for my sister.
Yeah, Phil, you and the audience should know. Jimmy's still trying to get some baseball card trading store going. Where is that? In some upstate New York crap can town.
It's speculated. It's up in the Adirondack. Oh, it's a crap can, huh? It's a beautiful town, and this would have baseball cards and different memorabilia.
I don't care. No one else does. No one else does, all right?
There's a lot of people want to have to... all I'm going to say here...
No one cares about your Pete Rose cards. No one cares about your anything that you've got, no one cares about, okay? And I don't care about you. If you think you're going to get a piece of the money that I owe your sister, you must be high on a mixture of chemicals.
Hey, I'm only standing up for my sister, who had to put up with years of abuse with you, and the fact that you did not pay
spousal support.
Yeah, of the spousal support.
Spousal support.
I said as a spousal support. You know, you can be very intimidating.
Intimidating.
You can be, you think you're, you know.
Are you going to cry? See, this is where he usually cries.
No, I'm not crying. What are you doing?
Get this guy out of here, okay? He's giving me the creeps. This guy's your brother-in-law? You got to be kidding.
That guy is the biggest baby. And I don't know why he's crying, because if anybody ought to cry, if anyone ought to weep tears, it's me. I'm the guy that's got to sit and sculpt ice cream sundaes.
I understand, and you're doing the very best job you can. But I want to know, this guy is sticking up for sister. Why? Because he thinks he's going to get a piece of your money?
He thinks he's going to get a piece of my money. That's exactly right. He thinks he's going to get a piece of my money, and it isn't going to happen. It isn't going
to
happen.
All right, let's get Harvey Wyman on the line. He's our legal analyst on the Phil Hendry Show to talk about this case. I think Harvey is familiar with it, and I think you also have had some dealings with Mr. Wyman in other areas. Harvey, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for joining the program.
Well, I wanted to tell the gentleman on the phone, Vernon, you remember me, don't you?
I remember you.
All right. Do you remember having to make an ice cream sundae about 3 weeks ago? And I specifically asked for nuts. I said I want nuts, nuts, and more nuts. Do you remember the order?
Yeah, I do remember the order. Was that you?
Yes, it was. It was me. And I went in there because I have taken at least part of the pro bono of this case, because I believe in the rights of women and women having to be forced into menial jobs.
And what about the menial job that I've been forced into, working at McDonald's, making ice cream? I guess I made an ice cream sundae for you, huh?
Yeah, and the one you made was not very good.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of pervert it takes to order, nuts, nuts, and more nuts.
Well, that's what my point was. I wanted to come in and see your reaction when I ordered, heavy on the nuts. And it was exactly what I thought. You got frustrated. I saw you take this spoon with the ice cream in it, and you threw it against a wall just as soon as you got the order.
All right, now, where do you get off going in and harassing a guy?
Right there. That is exactly my point, Phil. That's a very good point. I didn't harass him. I did not. All I said was I wanted an ice cream sundae with heavy on the nuts, and he was the guy that threw the spoon. That proves that he has he's unhinged mentally, and that there's an issue with him and the whole Kennel Club. And see, because I don't think that his ex-wife was doing the things that he thinks.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm trying to follow you here, Harvey, but it's getting harder and harder as you begin to pass out.
What do you mean pass out?
As you're moving away from the phone.
All right, let me ask a question here. This is Phil Hendry. Harvey, you went in there and you ordered an ice cream sundae heavy on the nuts.
That's exactly right, because I wanted to see the reaction, because I'd been told by his ex that he had a psychosexual reflex that was off the charts.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does psychosexual mean?
It means that any time anyone brings up anything that can be construed as sexual, but in point of fact, for instance, if I said, look at that broom handle, to you and I, that may be normal, but Vernon would probably start scratching his rear end or something, you know. Am I here? You know, this, Mr. Henry, I am not going to have to put up with this. All right?
All right, well, what do you mean scratch? Okay, so let's forget about that. So you ordered nuts, heavy on the nuts.
I ordered heavy on the nuts, yeah. No, but Mr. Henry is saying, wasn't the order, because I saw written on the sheet, nuts, and more nuts. It was heavy on the nuts, that's what I meant.
Well, then why didn't you say that?
Because I wanted to see his reaction, and as soon as he looked down and he read the order, he took the spoon out of the ice cream pit or the bin or whatever they use, some big thing that looks like a toilet, and he threw the spoon.
Wait, we don't keep ice cream in a toilet, sir.
Oh, okay, well, whatever you say. And he threw the spoon, and it hit the back of the head of the night manager there. And he didn't know it was there, but the guy had a spoon with ice cream stuck to the back of his head, and he's walking around.
All right, let's...
Well, that's the end of the hour.
I know it is the end of the hour, and that's just going to be the end of the hour. Thank you very much, Vernon Dozier and Harvey Wireman, as they can debate this off the air if they want to. I don't know what will become of this, but I'm certainly not going to continue to listen to this, especially this stuff about Mr. Dozier throwing the ice cream spoon. It sticks to the back of the head of the guy. I don't know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with more here, more news, more guests, more of everything in just a few minutes.
The nuts stuck to the back of his head as well.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment and all that. Truth is our bitch here. Here's the bitch right there on our screen. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you're looking at a picture of Robin Thicke, and he's with a female fan. And I can go around the panel here this evening. Margaret, Robert, and Bud, what do you see?
Well, he's touching on it.
Yeah, he's got his hand on him.
Margaret?
Well, it's very evident to me that Robin Thicke hasn't learned anything in the way of manners from his father or his mother. His hand is cupping, very obviously, cupping. And excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, for being this graphic.
What?
Does she get to keep going on? And all I said was...
What?
Hold on. But I'll run things here, okay?
She's going on and on. I only said one thing.
I'm going on and on because I know how to speak English, because I'm not mumbling, because I'm not gesturing and grunting with my hands, because I don't sit there waiting for someone to give me a Snickers and go, "Tink you."
All right, that was unnecessary.
You're making fun of retarded people.
Well, I'm getting sick of having to play second fiddle to him and his gloid act over there.
All right, listen, I tell you what. Margaret is allowed a few more extra... You guys can say what you want, but I'm going to cut anybody off that I want to cut off.
You cut us off. You let her talk.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Phil. It's obvious to me that Robin Thicke is cupping. If you look at the right hand, it is behind the back of the girl. The reason why we see this, and I would like to thank the young lady in the United Kingdom who made all of us aware of the fact that Robin Thicke... Now, I had no doubt that the young man is most likely a libertine.
What's that?
I'm going to...
Hey!
Don't interrupt me.
All right, well, it's a good question. A libertine is what?
A libertine is someone that is sexually free. There, is that...
Yeah, I just don't know.
And I have no doubt that Robin Thicke... You know what?
Don't... Yeah, no. You're not going to the bathroom. Finish.
I have no doubt that Robin Thicke's a douchebag. There, I'm done.
No, you weren't done. You just decided it. All right, so what you have... But you're going to say something about the hand.
What hand?
The one that's touching her butt.
Oh, the hand. Well, it's obvious that the hand, he has reached behind him. There's a mirror behind the couple, and so you can see what's going on.
Well, and the other thing I think needs to be said, Mr. Henry, is the young lady's butt is very large and thick. There's no other way to do it.
Yeah, he was forced by the circumstance.
What kind of silly ass talk is that?
He was forced by the circumstance to do what?
To cup to cut. The butt's too big.
Oh, come on. Grow up, will you? What I'm looking at here is a picture of Robin Thicke. I think it's a natural thing, perhaps. The night was a lot of fun for him. He was feeling the exuberance of it. He's got female fans that want to meet him. Maybe he had a couple of drinks. Who knows? A guy is going to do what a guy is going to do. Is it disrespectful to his wife? I have news for you. I think that's between him and his wife. That is such a... To me, that's a... Yes, that's a rude move, I suppose. It depends on what the young lady that he is, being photographed with thinks. I got a lot of money that says she doesn't care. She's probably fine with it. Does it publicly disrespect his wife? It depends on what their relationship is like and how she reacts to it, what you and I might think. I mean, hey, I don't know. But I do know one thing. The guy is there. He's in public. He's talking to his fans. He's having a good time, the rush of the moment.
Well, what rush of what moment? He just got done laying one of the biggest eggs in the history of show business, and you're telling me he's there grinning and saying, well, now, this is what a triumphant night. Let me cup one of the larger rear ends that are...
All right. Our number is 855-500-7445 here in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Bobby Dooley is going to join us to comment on this. And the reason why, Margaret, the reason why...
Well, may I leave the room?
That would be great, because I don't want you to... The reason why is Bobby Dooley, the second part of her Henry Rollins podcast, is coming up on Friday. That's tomorrow. So that'll be rolling out. That'll be dropping. That'll be, just hitting the cement. That'll be dropping, hitting the cement, rolling into the gutter at about, but tomorrow. And it'll be on Sideshow Network, on SoundCloud. It'll be on the Phil Hendry Show website. It'll be, it's everywhere. It's part two of the Bobby Dooley podcast featuring the great Henry Rollins. And so, without any further ado, let's get Bobby on the line here from Western Estates Homeowners Association. You know, Bobby, we see this picture. You're the mother of three boys, and you try to teach gentlemanly conduct and so on and so forth. What do you think?
Well, Phil, the first question that I had was, and Stephen, what do you think? I mean, I'd like to know what you think.
I think I've said.
Well, so...
Let me say that. That's normal.
Don't grab the phone. I'm sorry, Steve. I don't want to talk to my husband like that. But he grabs the phone like you're still a child in school, you know.
A lot of guys do it.
I don't care about a lot of guys.
Let's not have any bickering, please, because I'm trying to move along here. My opinion, I will restate it, I got no problem. My opinion is this. The exuberance of the moment, he let his guard down, and he let perhaps his propriety escaped him. Being a married guy, he's going to be photographed with his hand on this chick's ass. On the other hand, maybe it is a kind of a new behavioral model. It's okay with his wife, if it's okay with him. I don't know what the two of them are thinking. I don't think it's... I think you ought to take it in context. The guy is he's just gotten off stage. Here is a female fan. He's at the VMA Awards. There's a certain kind of a persona that he has and a certain kind of figure that he cuts. To me...
Well, you're doing a lot of talking, Phil, but you're not really...
I'm giving you my opinion, okay?
Well, what is your opinion?
Now, for once, I agree with Bobby.
Do you mind? I thought you were in the bathroom.
I am. I'm going to my car to get some curlers.
What is it with people around here? Is she moving in?
No, since you're going to get her curlers on account, you're not going to have her on this hour.
I heard that.
Well, maybe, I don't know, Phil, maybe they're having problems paying their rent. I'm kidding.
What does that mean?
If you're doing your hair, putting your hair in curlers, are you still living with Frank?
Yes, I... Let me...
Margaret.
No. Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right.
That's my opinion. My opinion is it's not as bad as everyone says.
Well, Phil, here is my opinion. I don't think that it's bad either. I believe that what is happening there with Robin Thicke is something that men increasingly are pushed into, especially celebrities, and especially by an ever-increasing and more forward generation of women. Robin Thicke, he's a very attractive man. The girls like him. He has a hit record. He had just been dancing with Miley Cyrus, who I thought was very charming. I know a lot of people didn't like the performance. I did. That makes, that's the difference between myself and other people. But if we are constantly going to be putting men into these positions where their hands are going to be placed there, If we're constantly putting men in these positions where the hand is going to be up near a bra strap, where the hand is going to be down the front of your pants.
What position? I just want, I'm curious here.
Yeah, you got to hear on my way.
I'll do it, Steve.
Okay, I'm sorry, but what position are men being forced in? Okay, Bud, I'll take the break when I want to take the break.
You have time to break, Mr. Henry.
I'll take the break when I want to break.
If you have to break, Phil, I can wait.
I understand. I'll take it when I want to take it, okay?
Take what?
The break.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
How is it that all of a sudden we got Mr. Hall, okay? You know what? I'll wait through the break before I take Mr. Hall. How do you feel about that?
He really wants to...
Go ahead, Phil. I can wait.
Yeah, I know you can wait, because you're the guest, and you'll wait.
Well, I wouldn't get...
Everybody's going to wait. How about that?
Well, Mr. Hall didn't want to wait.
Yeah, David.
You know, Phil, I'm sorry, but you're sitting there on a national broadcast saying, I'll take it. To me, that sounds like...
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, as we discuss with Bobby Dooley and the rest of the panel here tonight, this Robin Thicke picture where it looks like he's got his hand on this chick's ass. There. Does that make everybody happy?
Well, Phil, I just think he's cupping the ass, so it's obviously too big.
That's just great. We'll be right back, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western States Homeowners Association as we continue to discuss the Robin Thicke photograph that has appeared here in Entertainment Weekly, Entertainment Tonight, Entertainment Tomorrow, all of the major entertainment sites. Showing him in an exuberant state, obviously. He looks very happy. He's with a fan. They're backstage. And he has his hand on her rear end. There's been an awful lot of commentary on this. And, Bobby, you are saying basically that Robin Thicke is a guy who is thrust into this limelight by people. And so people should expect this kind of behavior, correct?
Well, I think as a mother, you don't want to see a man... grabbing a woman that way. If anyone were to do that to me, I would very definitely, I would have a very violent reaction. The girl here in this photograph has a big rear end. Perhaps he needed the full cupping motion of the hand. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not sure whether that's a...
What I'm saying is, yes, it was a rude thing for him to do, but the girl thrust her rear end right into his hand. And I think it's normal for a man to want to put his hand there and put a finger...
All right, hold on. Because I don't want this to get into any more graphic in an area that it's already gone into. All right, our number 855-500-7445. Let's go over here to New Jersey, and on the line with us is Gigi. Gigi, go ahead. You're on with Bobby Dooley.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that show business people, they're kind of special in show business. You expect that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, the girls, a lot of women have made it through the movies. And by doing this, hello.
No, I'm listening to you. I'm trying to.
Yes. By behaving in this fashion, they get a lot of attention, of course. And besides that, Robin has finally come into his own, and I really, really admire the fact that he didn't really use any father type.
I have three sons, though, and I don't want my sons going around and sticking their finger up a woman's. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing.
Well, I do understand that. But you know what? If you've explained to your sons and you want me to tell them, treat your women as you would treat your mother, then you don't have that problem.
That's a very good point. Is Robin Thicke treating his mother the way... See, he's got his hand cupping. She's got a big rear end, this girl.
But it doesn't matter. That's show business. And you have to understand. You have to make your kids know that's show business. You don't go around cuffing women behind in the street. And I'm sure he didn't. First of all, you've got to understand it was a great night for him. And we haven't really seen him that much. He hasn't been exposed that much.
The only problem, this is Phil.
Gigi,
I wanted to mention that the only thing about that show was that they got panned. You know, the performance got panned.
I know they did, but I like him, so it doesn't matter. There are other people that have done worse things than that.
Gigi, Margaret Gray wants to ask you a question. Margaret, go ahead.
Hi, Gigi. This is Margaret, and you sound
Hi,
like
Margaret.
You and I are probably of the same generation. Now, I remember all the bad boys back in the day. I remember Frank Sinatra and so on.
Now, I remember the 60s and the 80s.
I don't remember Frank Sinatra taking a finger, though, and trying to probe it right up between a woman's, you know?
Well, Frank Sinatra on stage, no, he did not do that on TV back in those days. There was a whole new set of rules for TV and movies,
That's what worries me
about. So you really didn't see that. But in his private life, he wasn't an angel.
Well, so did you ever see Frank Sinatra take his finger and say, let's go ahead and see if we can take it?
What do you mean finger? I don't see Robin. I don't see Robin Thicke doing anything with his finger.
He didn't do any of that. He wasn't doing any of that.
If you look at the photograph, you can see the middle ring finger is up. It's as if he's...
That's what it looks like to me, as if he's trying to wedge his finger up there.
Oh, come on.
You know, because if his hand cuffed there, you know, and if he turned a little or whatever and it went there... That's on the women. We're not forcing the men to do these things, and the women are very forward today.
Oh, they are.
They love the attention. I'm 76, and I don't know how I would act if he was standing next to me.
Well, I'll tell you this, darling. If a man tried to put his finger up there, I'd tear that hand off, and I'd show it to his wife, and I'd say, I think this is yours.
All right.
I don't see that anything he did is really wrong.
Well, I don't either. I'm just praying and hoping that he was not. I'm worried about anal rape.
What?
I'm worried about the anal rape. If you put a finger.
What?
Anal rape?
Why do you say that?
I'm saying if she can go to the police and claim that he probed her.
No. I don't see that happening.
Because she was on stage in front of the public.
What if there was...
All right, I don't want to go down this road. Thank you very much, Gigi, for the call. I appreciate it. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. What are you trying to say here, Ms. Dooley, so that I can kind of catch up?
I want some of this.
I thought this woman was going to be kept out of here.
No, Margaret, we let you talk about it with the caller, okay?
I want a piece...
Get out of here!
He put his hand on me.
Get out of here.
You'll pay for this, Phil.
Oh, come on.
No, don't worry about Margaret. You know, she's about 5 cents worth of tough. That's it.
Hold on. Do you remember behind the sit and sleep the other...
Get out of here.
Margaret.
Oh, she chose me off behind the sit and sleep. I was coming out with a mattress, and she said this, da, 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 da. And I put my mattress into my Range Rover, and I said, you know something, Tubby? I'll get back to you, okay? In the meantime, sail on cheese at Vaughn's. Now, Phil, I think that there are many...
What happened?
I don't know.
I did it, and I'll tell you why I did it.
What? Hey.
I did that. I'll tell you why I did that.
No, get out of here. Don't you ever do that.
She pulled a cable, Mr. Edmonds.
She did what?
She pulled a cable on a phone call.
Margaret, I ought to kick your ass out of here for doing that.
I had my reasons.
I ought to kick your ass out of here for doing that, but I won't. You put the cable in the middle of the guest. Now, guess what? Now I'm going to keep her on longer.
Damn you. Damn all the talk show hosts that ever was.
While we wait to get Bobby Dooley back on the line, I thought that was a very cogent set of remarks there here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Later on, we are going to be talking... Is that her back? Ms. Dooley, I apologize. We had the talk show. The main cable from our phone lines going to our computer was pulled by Margaret Gray.
Well, she's very angry, Phil, because I didn't take her bait at that. he tried to bait me into a fist fight behind the sit and sleep near the dumpster. And that's where we usually have, if ever we have to solve anything between the two of us, that's where we go. And so last Sunday, she pulls up in her husband's, whatever, this ornate big gas hog. I guess she thinks that she looks special. It looks ridiculous.
Do you know what I'm for?
Margaret. It's a Bentley.
Well, whatever. And she says to me, this, that. And I said, Tubby, sail on cheese, you know, and I went ahead. And,
What's going on?
Get out of here.
She can't talk that way about me.
Get... Margaret, one more. I'm going to fire. Get her out of here.
That is long overdue, sir. What was that, Steve? That was long overdue, Phil. I want to commend you and all of the people at the Phil Haney Show.
Hendry.
And the what?
And what?
We're right now, Phil, we're at a railroad station.
What?
Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing at all. All right, we're going to be getting back to you guys. Thank you very much, and thank you, Ms. Dooley. So, Robin Thicke, it's between him. Just as I suspect that it's probably not that big of a deal, but hey, you know. Yeah?
I want to apologize, and I was going to apologize to Bobby, but she's not there.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. Yes, she called me Tubby. Yes, she did say those things to me, sail on cheese, Tubby. But I will apologize to you, Phil. However, she did agree with me when I said that Robin Thicke looked as if he'd sent out a probe. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, you see, I've got a problem here. And the problem is, when you guys start talking about this stuff, you use a code that I think is almost as grotesque as saying anything on the air intentionally, all right?
Like what?
When you say he sent out a probe, okay, that you don't have to say that. You can just say it looks like he was inappropriately touching her, okay?
All right, Phil. He was inappropriately touching her.
All right, never mind. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
But I do apologize.
Fine, you apologize. But he sent out a probe, huh?
That's what we girls call it when a man is cupping our rear end, and then we feel that extra, as I say, that extra probe.
Anyway, Robin, good for you. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with news about North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, and what he does with ex-girlfriends. Ain't good. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we have a very, very cool announcement concerning a new affiliate next week. We can't get into it right now because we can't get into it right now, you know, but we've got a great announcement concerning returning to a market that we've been out of for a long time, one of our great, great Phil Hendry markets, and we're going to be back next week. And also just want to single out the great folks in Sacramento, California, KSTE. Our good friend Ken Charles and those cats. Ken had us on in Houston and in Miami, and he shows great loyalty to the Phil Hendry brand, you know.
Yeah, talk about a brand.
Yeah, well, the brand is what?
The brand is me. I don't know. That's the brand, okay?
Like a brand, like a, like a Circle K, or what the lady said, a Circle J.
What? What are you talking about, man?
The Circle J.
What about the Circle J?
That's the brand.
If J stands for jerk, it's not funny anymore, okay?
Well, it's funny. Yeah.
No, it's not funny anymore. That joke is 6 months old. 6 months old. You know.
Well, Phil, don't go 6 months old. It doesn't bespeak. I understand what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm not even talking to you right now, Margaret. I'm talking to this idiot. The Circle J brand, I get it. It's funny. It was funny 6 months. Not funny anymore, okay?
You don't think Circle J?
No, I don't think it's funny anymore. 6 months ago was funny. Hey, what brand are you? The Circle J?
I still think it's funny.
Good for you, man. If you bring up one more old joke, I'm going to send you out the door along with Margaret here.
Along with Margaret here. So now you got it said. You finally got it said.
Yeah, I finally got it said what?
treating me like I'm the help.
That's exactly what you are to me, especially after tonight. And all of that button in and pulling the phone cable, that was a big screw-up. You're in the doghouse.
The dog, as in dog, as in what?
No, I'm not dog, that kind of dog, doghouse.
I'm not talking about you being a dog.
Like in the movie Marty, there are a bunch of dogs.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I said no.
In the Moody, what's the name? What did you call the thing that is on the screen?
A movie.
Yes, in the movie, Moody.
Marty.
Right, in the Moody, never mind.
In the movie Marty, the guys were talking about all the dogs, right?
Yes, in the movie Marty, they were saying, bunch of dogs in there. Now, I know it's a very old film, and a lot of the people that are listening to you right now either have never heard of the movie, or if they have, they're the ones that are keeping talk radio live on AM radio. Now then,
just let me move on with this and forget about your appraisal of mass media. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the program, folks. 855-500-7445. A North Korean firing squad last week executed a former girlfriend of leader Kim Jong-un and 11 other entertainers for allegedly violating laws banning pornography. This, at least according to a South Korean newspaper. Are you ready for that?
So they shot this woman.
They shot her. And wait till you hear, they not only did they shoot her, but they used a machine gun. If you're shot in North Korea, they use a machine gun. And this was a firing squad that was assembled not just for the singer and the woman's name, a former girlfriend, Cho Sung Ilbo, or Cho Sung Ibo. Cho Sung Ibo, an English language... Oh, wait a minute, that's the name of the newspaper, for God's sake.
Get me have that, Phil. You're butchering this left and right. A North Korean firing squad executed a former girlfriend of Kim Jong-dong-kong of...
Give me that, I'll do it. Of Kim Jong-il. The report was in the newspaper, and they shot this singer, a very, very popular singer, Hyung Song-wol, okay?
How do you know that's even the way you pronounce it? Hong Song, you're making that up.
No, I'm not. I'm Hyung Song Wall.
But you can say anything. You can go, Young, you make it sound like you know how to speak Korean, Phil, and you know that you don't, right?
Of course I don't.
I don't like people that pretend like they know how to speak the language by doing all the flourishes, but they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like this one lady, I had a Spanish teacher, or she wasn't a Spanish teacher, Mrs. Ellsford. And she's all like, San Bernardino. And I go, do you speak English or Spanish? She goes, no. And then I go, how come you're all San Bernardino? And she gave me detention and told me that I was an idiot.
Okay. Well, that was wrong of her to do. But anyway, I don't want to talk about your life, your schooling. I don't want to talk about anything having to do with you, bud, because you are way, way out there, man.
Well, wait a minute, man. That lady gave you detention because she's all trying to sound like she's Mexican?
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to sound Mexican. She was trying to sound as if she spoke Spanish. Is that right?
Yeah. She's all like, yeah, better go out to San Bernardino.
Take it easy, bud. There's a certain way that you speak Spanish. There's a certain accent. San Bernardino would probably be the way she was saying it, right?
Yeah. Sound just like you. You be able to speak Mexican? No.
It's not called Mexican. It's called Spanish.
Well, whatever, man. You don't speak it, do you?
No, I don't. I don't. There you go.
You said don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I speak restaurant Spanish. That means I can order stuff in Spanish.
Well, you can order tequila.
Right. That's pretty much it. That's the extent of my skill. Mas tequila. All right. Moving along with this very serious story, because I don't want to talk anymore about anybody's Spanish teachers. Just everybody shut up. Forget about whether I know how to speak Korean, okay?
Well, then quit trying to sound, you know, nyong tong wong dong. Phil, you're not a missionary. You don't have on a nun's habit. You don't have a bunch of little bull haircuts running after you.
Bull haircuts! Woo-hoo!
Sorry.
In this episode, among the dozen performers shot to death while their families... Do you understand what's happened here? This woman, this popular singer, God knows why she was making pornographic tapes, if in fact they were pornographic, probably according to Kim Jong-un, and this was his girlfriend, he probably thought it was pornographic. Maybe she just fell in love with another guy. Maybe that was what he was all angry about. But the in this episode, among the dozen performers shot to death while their families and former band members were forced to watch was Yong Song-wol, a singer Mr. Kim reportedly courted a decade ago but was forced to abandon by his dictatorial father, Kim Jong-il, a guy who wore a hairdo like Elvis Presley. Don't take that. I'm just kidding. But the fact is that his dad was that weird. Guy had a processed pompadour, and he wore high-heel shoes. How do I know? Because I heard Madeleine Albright give a talk one night at the Distinguished Speakers Series at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza.
Yay!
Thank you. Cut.
And she said that.
Yes. Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, said that she had this meeting. It was during this talk she was giving. And she had a meeting, you know, under President Clinton, and she went to North Korea, and she had a meeting. She said he was the most bizarre-looking man she ever saw in her life. He had this she said he had this hairdo, like a 1950s teen idol, and he had high-heel shoes. High-heel shoes.
Like a lady's high-heel shoes?
That's the way she made it sound.
What? Was he short?
I'm going to have to assume, yeah. Why else would a guy walk around in high-heel shoes? Unless,
maybe he's like probably a cross-dresser because he thinks he's a, or he feels comfortable as a lady.
But he wasn't dressed as a lady, man. He wasn't dressed as a lady. He had on a guy's suit. He had on a pompadour hairdo. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean he had it on? You mean he combed his hair that way?
Whatever, bud. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the guy was dressed as a woman, he'd have on a dress, don't you think?
Unless it was a pantsuit.
I'm going to belt it.
Hey, don't.
I'm going to kick your ass. You know that?
Making a good point.
What point is he making?
What if it was a pantsuit?
Are you guys out of your minds? The guy, Kim Jong-il, was a nutcase. And she said so. Madeleine Albright, she saw it. She looked at this guy. She had to sit down and talk turkey with this jackass. Talk about nuclear weapons with some guy that's half out of his mind? That must have been fun. She's got to sit there and, you know, try and talk sense to this maniac. And meanwhile, there he is in his high heel shoes. It must have been a pantsuit.
What about Madeleine Clinton?
Who's Madeleine Clinton? You mean Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
What, are you trying to tell me she looks like Kim Jong-il?
No.
She wore pantsuits. That's his point.
Yay, all right. What a great point. Wow, jeez. I wish I would have thought of that, bud. That's fantastic.
Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up. Thank you very much, folks, for sitting through that.
I don't know if it's very informative.
No, I don't think it was. Thank you very much. I was trying to inform the audience as to these. Well, we're going to get back. We'll take another run at it. How about that? World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We will be back. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Do you have a backstage pass? If you don't, you're missing out, really, on the most important element in all of digital media today. It is not just a video cast of a radio show. It's a video cast of our radio show. Yeah. 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 Right.
Whatever.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show. And online, philhenryshow.com.
They call you a website pimp.
I don't care if they call me a website pimp. This is my business. This is my living. This is how I make my living, okay? Website pimp. All these people, man, you know, it's funny. America has all kinds of professions, all kinds of occupations, all kinds of things that people do. And apparently everybody in the world is allowed to make a living except those of us who make our livings off of a digital product. Those of us who make our living off of the internet, we're not allowed to make a living. And some jackass was, on my Facebook page. I forget it. You know, I don't want to get into it.
You start talking about Facebook is a waste of time. It is a waste of time run by criminals.
You know, you got this real attitude, man. I'll tell you. All right. World famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to get into a couple of things next hour. One of the, I guess we'll have Larry Grover back on to talk about the imminent airstrike against Syria, which, man, as far as I'm concerned, you know, go ahead, dude. I mean, I'm not going to make a big statement on it because that's really not what our show is about. The president's going to do what he's going to do. The Congress is going to do what they're going to do. But me, I'm not sweating it.
Well, you're not sweating it because you're not under those missiles. You are not under the reign of terror and horror delivered by the United States of America.
Margaret, can I ask you a question?
What?
when you get dramatic and you are, you know, you're in this opinion mode, you're all the United States of America.
Yeah, I know that too.
I am delivering my opinion for dramatic resonance. Dramatic resonance. Do you understand? You know, do you understand?
No, I don't. No, no. I don't understand, the United States of America. Why don't you just say the United States of America?
All right, I'll say it again.
All right, you're delivering your opinion.
Yes. I'm delivering my opinion for dramatic resonance. And when you're talking about millions of people sitting under a rain of death, delivered by a president that I used to believe in, Phil, and I think a lot of us did. I believed in Barack Obama and in the hope of peace that he brought to the world, and instead he will be raining death down the people's area.
I can't take it.
Yeah, you gotta stop saying a rock and roll person.
What's your problem now?
On the people's area. You see what I'm saying?
Are you telling me you're nitpicking that? You monkeys
And I don't like being called a monkey.
I don't like being called a monkey either, because I know where it's coming from.
Excuse me, I didn't call you a monkey that way. I said the three of you are monkeys.
Yeah, that's racist against me on account of the plate in my head.
Huh?
What does that mean?
On account of my disability.
It doesn't mean it's racist. You got a plate in your head.
Yes, you call me a monkey.
Yeah, you're a
Let me do it, okay? It doesn't mean it's racist. It's offensive. You can say it's racist against Robert because he's black.
Well, what would be racist against you?
Maybe if she called me an Irish monkey, okay?
All right, you're an Irish monkey. There, you feel better?
No, I don't feel better. I mean, what's the point of this? What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say something far more important than what you three apes are sitting there. Yes, you heard me. It's not racist, Robert. Don't look at me that way.
Man, when you say the word ape or monkey, black people react.
I'm saying the three of you are sitting your monkey asses. I'm very emotional.
All right. The reign of death, huh? Well, you know something? The only thing, the real reign of death has been delivered by that clown, that Assad. And if we've got an agreement that you're not allowed to use these kinds of weapons, we have an agreement that we're going to protect people from being gassed and to protect people from certain kinds of death, even if it's dealt by their own governments, then that's what the deal is, man. That's what the international agreement is. And I don't know what's with all this.
The British are dragging their rear ends, and I for one say thank God for the British, because they are a people that understand the very important word, maybe done. Now, I know I drag the words out.
You know, you sound like you're having a stroke. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's great. You have the ball well half done.
Yeah, it sounds like you're having a stroke.
What do you mean a stroke?
You're going to the ball well half done.
It's like you've lost I don't know. Let me get over here to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. He's going to talk about this. It's always very interesting to hear conservatives having to begrudgingly or grudgingly or degrudgingly or ex-grudgingly, however grudgingly, it's always interesting to hear these guys take a stand to back up President Obama and some of the things that he's doing. Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing very good, Phil, and I'll say this right now. I hope that President Obama unleashes the dogs of war. Cry havoc, and if you know the words the gentleman, if you know the gentleman who said it, it might have been from the Bible. I think Jesus Christ said it. Jesus Christ said to the apostles, cry havoc.
No, it was William Shakespeare.
It was William Shakespeare, all right. I thought it was biblical.
No, Phil's right, it was Shakespeare.
I'd like to get through this segment without hearing from you, Ms. Gray, if it's all right with Mr. Hendry.
No, I'm sorry, she's part of the panel.
Oh, she's part of the panel, okay. The other night I was reduced to a non-man, you and my mother.
Now, Larry, I'm going to jump in here, Larry.
No, you and mother reduced me to a non-man.
No, I did not. Your mother brought up the whole thing about missile you-know-what. If you want your mother to keep away from the phone, keep her away from the phone.
Well, she's not here tonight, thank God. She's off visiting her sister, and I got to tell you something. I had some very unkind thoughts earlier this evening as she left the house. I was... God help me, but I was hoping that... I was hoping she'd get hit head-on by a drunk.
Oh, my God.
Larry, come on.
No, I was, because I'm getting sick of the whole missile, you know, 5, 4, 3.
No, it's 3, 2.
Yeah, you're right, 3.
Okay, bud. Are you better now?
Yeah, I'm better now. What difference does it make? The point is, Syria needs... Let's get back to what I came on. I didn't come on the program to talk about the fact that I wasn't circumcised, okay?
I understand, Larry. I thought...
And you guys go bringing it up?
I didn't want you to...
Forget it.
Okay, you didn't... Do you want to hang up?
Yes, I want to hang up.
Then why don't you hang up?
I thought I had...
Where do you find imbeciles like this?
Goodbye.
You're still... The phone's still off the hook.
Oh, please, God, let me hang it up. Please, let me hang it up. Please, let me hang it up.
This, I'm telling you, Phil, you don't have to fire me. I'm going to quit. He sounds like Jack Lemmon in Days of Wine and Roses.
Please. Is it hung up yet?
No, it's not. Disconnect that jackass.
All right, well, then I guess I've got to...
So that's that. Do we have any other conservative or liberal or anybody else who wants to talk about Syria?
No.
All right, well, President Obama, do what you got to do, man. Just go ahead and let it fall, you know. Like the old folk song says, oh, don't let the rain come down.
Well, that's what they're hoping tonight in Syria, Phil, as millions of people sit and hope and pray that the great father in Washington, the great moral leader of the free world in Washington, does not cry havoc, Phil, and does not unleash the war. I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, so what?
What do you mean, so what? I just locked out with a perfect series of statements.
Yeah, but you said cry havoc and unleash a lot of war.
Robert, I'm the last person to criticize the way black people talk. But
that's not him. That's the way you sounded.
Cry havoc and unleash a lot of war.
You know, when you want to be ultra dramatic and you want to make a big point, just make the point. Just talk, okay? Yesterday, we learned a lesson in public speaking yet again from that marvelous speech by Dr. King. I mean, has there ever been a greater public speaker in the history of our country?
Well, one of the things that I like about the old public speakers is the way they use their hands. I will not. You know how they're waving their hands around?
Yeah, why'd they always wave their hands around like they're having an epileptic fit?
They're not epileptic fit.
Why did they?
Because in those days, before television and before there were these public address systems, the speaker had to keep the audience riveted to him visually as well as by hearing him. And so they would wave their hands and they'd do this and do that. They would gesticulate is the word. Gesticulate, bud. That's not a dirty word, okay?
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
He's calling Mr. Hall just in case.
Hang the phone up. Hang it. And so they would gesticulate. They would wave their hands around. They would point. They would do all kinds of things that would indicate, you know, would draw people's attention to them. And that's why they did what they did. But as far as public speakers go, it's a lost art. And public speaking is a brilliant and wonderful art. Ron Kovic, the Vietnam veteran, who I personally heard speak when I was a 20-year-old kid, in MacArthur's Park in Los Angeles, Ron Kovic's one of the greatest public speakers ever heard. Dr. Martin Luther King's one of the greatest public speakers ever heard. President Kennedy was one of the greatest public speakers ever heard. All those guys, man, I'm telling you.
They had nothing on Barack Obama, though.
No, they were better than President Obama. President Obama's good. Those guys were dramatic. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. It is 855-500-7445. That's it. That's the conduit to our show, The Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, joined by Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman. And I apologize, things have been a bit squirrely tonight. We've had a near fist fights break out in here.
That is not fair.
Hold on, let me just introduce the hour, if you don't mind. The show, in other words, tonight has been sort of like Robert Plant right here, just screeching and reaching for his you-know-what. All right, so anyway, some sad news. We always have had a very soft spot here in our hearts on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for Dina Eastwood.
Well, what about Clint?
Clint, he can burn in hell. I'm kidding. But she, Dina Eastwood, many, many years ago...
Oh, no, you're not going to tell the story.
I'm going to tell the story for our audience that hasn't heard it.
Phil, we've heard the story.
Chad, we've heard it.
I don't care what you've heard. Didn't I have David Hall call me a moment ago and say that you got to get heard on this whole Syria thing?
Yes, but I'm talking about something that is vital to the people and to the children of the world. And,
Margaret, you know, if I swear to God, if you give a speech like that tonight...
I'm not giving a speech.
I don't care, but if you start in with the world, if you start in with that, what I call...
Got caught slack jaw.
Yes, it's almost like sloppy jaw.
I don't want it called sloppy jaw. Do you understand me?
Well, Margaret...
I don't want... If that one there calls it sloppy jaw, all bets are off. All bets are off, and I do not feel constrained by any morality. I'll do what I gotta do.
Yeah, you sound like Jack Hoffa in Hoffa.
Jack Hoffa?
You mean Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, anyway, welcome back to our show. I'm sorry, folks, I was introducing the hour, but I got butted into by these three, yes, Margaret, idiots.
And where do you get off calling me an idiot?
Same place you got off calling me a monkey. When you said to me, Bud, and Robert, you three sitting your monkey asses in here.
Yeah, and you're laughing.
Dina Eastwood got in touch with our show about 10 years ago, and she said, we didn't know who she was. She said, originally, she was talking to our then-producer, Janice Ngaro, and she said, hi, you know, my husband's a big fan, and can we get an autographed CD? And she said, absolutely, you know, and Phil will autograph it for you. What is your name? She said, well, my name is Dina Eastwood, and my husband is Clint Eastwood. And it was then, that was like with the high point of my, I think that was the high point of my being on the radio up to now. It was getting an autograph, because I've always been a Clint Eastwood fan. It's almost like getting an autograph from, I don't know, Humphrey Bogart or somebody, you know. And she was very sweet about it, and she did not try to pull any star thing. She just simply started by saying, may I get an autographed CD for my husband? And thank God we said, yes, you may.
You didn't say, well, who is your husband?
No, we did not.
How do you know?
Because I asked Janice. I said, how did the conversation go?
What'd she say?
She said that she got a phone call.
And what did she say from who?
She said she got a phone call from a lady.
What was the lady's name?
Will you guys shut up and let me tell the story? She got a phone call from a lady, and the lady said, hi, does Phil personally autograph CDs? And Janice said, yeah, he does. And she said, well, my husband's birthday is coming up. And he said, well, that's great. Yeah, Phil often autographs CDs for people's birthday. Now, that was back when we had the... I know a lot of you guys have asked for autographed pictures. We don't have any. We're getting them. I'm sorry, but that's just where it's at. And I apologize for that. When we had an apparatus to deal with that kind of thing...
Well, what do you mean apparatus? It sounds almost as if... Well, I'm sorry, Phil. It sounds like a strap-on.
Yeah, it does.
Well, don't look at me like that.
Did you have to use that as an example?
You're talking about and we had the apparatus.
I tell you, man, you guys have been listening to David too long.
Mr. Hall said you got to watch the way you say stuff.
Well, yeah, so why don't you do that, Margaret? And the next time you're talking about Syria, don't be going to the children.
Well, you're all apparatus.
In any event, I said, yeah, and so I autographed, and Janice asked her. She said, well, who is this? She said, my husband's name is Clint Eastwood, because she'd given her last name to Dean Eastwood. And Janice was like, oh, my God, Mrs. Eastwood, we're very happy to do it. And
you're saying that her celebrity didn't influence you in the least?
No, because we'd already said, yes, we'll do it. Probably, if it influenced us at all, it influenced Janice to give me the CD right away, and I signed it right away, and she probably mailed it right away, you know.
Yeah, well, that's giving preference to reverential treatment and everything.
What?
Giving reverential treatment.
Not reverential treatment. It's giving preferential treatment. I don't know. I don't think so, man. You know, all of the CDs get mailed out about the same time. It just so happens that she was very excited, and I was too. It's great to know that there's somebody who's a fan of your show that you think is pretty terrific. So the reason why we're bringing all of this up is that Clint Eastwood's marriage, and I don't really want to use the article. I hate TMZ with their smart-ass reporting, man. Just give me the facts, baby. Don't start... giving me a Harvey Levin's version, okay, as he leans over the partitions there in the office with a cup of coffee, going, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Dina Eastwood, wife of Clint Eastwood, said Thursday that she couldn't care less whether his 83-year-old... I'm just joking. Dina Eastwood...
Well, why are you doing that when you're putting down TMZ? I know people over there.
Well, good. Tell them for me, I think they suck. How about... I'm just joking, guys. Dina Eastwood, wife of Clint Eastwood, said Thursday that she and the Oscar-winning filmmaker have broken up after 17 years of marriage and have been living separately for some time. That's kind of a drag. The former TV newscaster, who went by Dina Ruiz Eastwood when she briefly returned to work as an anchor in 2011, confirmed the split to Us Weekly, adding that the two remain close. Clint Eastwood's manager, when contacted about the split by the magazine, responded, "I know nothing about that." So he was lying. I don't know if he was lying.
Well, I'm sure he was.
He had to get the green light from the Eastwoods, to, and she didn't give him the heads up, I get. In April, Dina Eastwood voluntarily entered an Arizona rehabilitation facility for treatment of depression and anxiety, according to TMZ. The site said the two then had been having serious marital issues for months. Dina Eastwood met Clint Eastwood in 1993 while interviewing him for her station, the Monterey Salinas, California NBC affiliate, KSBW. They married on March 31st, 1996, and had a daughter, Morgan, that December. It was her first marriage and his second, though the film star has seven children with five women.
So?
Oh, so.
You always talk about a man being responsible for everything.
Does he have to yell?
Get up to the microphone, Robert.
You always talk about a man has to be responsible.
That's Clint Eastwood you're talking about there. You're not talking about just anyone. Clint Eastwood is one of our great artists, and as such, he needs to spread out. All right?
You talk about spread out.
What does that mean, spread out?
He's got to be able to spread out and air it out. I don't know.
Well, what does that mean?
Phil, I'm getting into an area here that I doubt very seriously if you know anything about.
Oh, is that right? So, you know,
And I'd be watching what you're saying, because Mr. Eastwood most likely isn't listening and hasn't for many years. But just in the odd chance that he is, that he's being forced to, maybe by Dina, if I were you, I'd be careful as to what you say.
I'm saying that I find that. I'm not trying to judge him, but I am saying that that is, just to show my audience that I'm consistent and that I'm not some ass-kissing, star-loving guy. I think that's kind of weird, man. And if even if he's got good relationships or is close with all five of the kids, it's still, to me, it's heartbreaking to see five children, or is it, what is it?
It's five children with seven different women.
Five children with seven different women. How's that possible?
What do you mean?
He had five children with seven women.
Yeah, how's that possible?
Two of the women could have had the same baby or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you. One of the women, two of them had the same baby, and it came out...
Yeah, but I don't know.
Phil, I don't know, but that's what it said.
No, it doesn't. It says seven children by five women. Now, that makes sense.
In your universe, because you want it to make sense.
Have you read the story?
No, I don't think I have to. You've carved it up. All I have to do is listen to you and go opposite. I don't even think this is about Clint Eastwood. I think it's about Sheb Woolley.
Get out of here. All right, folks, you don't know who Sheb Woolley is. It doesn't matter. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and have access to an enormous volume of archived radio shows. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, going back over a decade. All kinds of crazy stuff, and it's there for you. Also, our daily videocast. Also, the Daily Show podcast, our daily classic show podcast, our news feed, our webisodes, our Milwaukee Lion Archive, other webisodes we've done, radio interviews, TV pilots, and the like. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Be a Backstage Pass member. Live again. All right, we're coming right back here. We've got some serious stuff to discuss, and one of them is a National Football League lawsuit being settled involving concussions. We're going to talk about that. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You turn that up, bud. I can't hear it, okay?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, and very happy to be with you. Now, I know that we have, we were going to be talking a little bit about the, these kittens on a railroad track?
Yeah, there's kittens there, and they kept people from doing what they had to do.
Well, that's all well and good, but we've got Rudy Canoza, I know, is going to join us from Je T'aime Lingerie this evening, is going to talk a little bit about the breakup of the Eastwoods. This is not going to be something that I want to spend a whole lot of time on, because there is a... I think it's very, like I said, it's private, it's tragic, it's not... I don't know.
Well, it's not fodder for discuss. What is to discuss?
Well, Rudy is going to be discussing with us what might have been, and we'll get him on the show and try to figure out what exactly he means by that. Just to remind you, we are back on in a major market next week that we're going to be announcing on our pre-show. So if you want to join us for that announcement next week, you need a backstage pass, and we'll tell you about which market the Phil Henry Show finally returns to after a great many years. And also, we're back on in Sacramento, of course, at KSDE. Ken Charles and the guys doing just great service to the world-famous Phil Henry Show there. All right, I want to get Rudy Canoza on here before we do anything else. Rudy is at Je T'aime Lingerie there in the valley of Los Angeles County, up there in the San Fernando Valley near the Galleria. How you doing, Rudy?
I'm doing good, Phil, and very grateful to be on your program. It was also sorry to hear that the Eastwood family.
You didn't know them, did you?
No, I did not know them, but I was a great admirer of Dina Eastwood. I felt that she was a beautiful woman, and of course, I've always felt that Clint Eastwood, a great movie producer and director, and a great movie actor as well.
So, when you say what might have been, when you look at the Eastwoods, what do you mean?
I think I am Argentinian, Latin man. Ms. Eastwood, she is of Latin descent. I think she's American, but her blood is Latin blood. And I think Mr. Eastwood might have missed the opportunity. And for many years, not you and I have been on this program, and we talk of the la-la-la-la-la. But I'm not to say that Clint Eastwood could have saved his marriage if he had learned that. But what I say, this is an example of when a woman runs afoul, when she is not mindful, when she is not taking care, concentrating on what can be, and what, as I say with Rudy, what might have been. And I listen to Margaret as she speaks of the Syrian people and in the dramatic way that she does. I understand what Margaret's saying.
Thank you very much, Rudy. I appreciate that. I've taken a lot of abuse on that.
I don't think you should, because...
Well, she's being very, you know, the people.
No, but you see, when I talk of Dina Eastwood and what might have been, I have to accentuate to say Dina Eastwood, she married Clint Eastwood, and yet what might have been. La, 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 see.
Do you think that is something that's relatable?
And in what sense?
In the sense that if I'm an average man and I'm listening to what you're saying about Dina Eastwood... What might have been, la 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 la.
Well, yes, if you know how to do it. What you just did there was an obscenity. You have to learn.
Phil, there's a way of doing it.
Yeah, I know that, Margaret. Let me, okay?
Fine.
Yeah, there is a way of doing it. And what you did there was an obscenity. It was an obscenity before man and God. And
well, okay, so it was, all right. So it was an obscenity.
No, Phil, please, do not dismiss. Don't say, oh, yes, it was obscenity. No, you have to understand that Dina Eastwood was a beautiful woman. She was a beautiful woman. And I looked at Dina Eastwood. I said to myself, this is a beautiful woman, driven to madness by this man, Clint Eastwood. This man, the man with no name. The man, the fistful of dollars, you know. The man who roll them, ride, you know. This man drove Dina Eastwood to the edge of madness. And to bring a woman like that back is the role of a Rudy or any man that has a great love and admiration for the great women.
Or her husband,
absolutely. Well, however, Clint Eastwood no longer her husband because they separated 1 year ago. As according to the news that I heard you say just this very moment, you said Clint Eastwood, his wife, they are separated as of a year ago. And so...
And by the way, you don't have to talk like you're dubbing a Spanish language movie, man. I can understand you, okay?
Fine, jeez. But you know what I'm saying.
Can I ask a question, Daddy, or is this...
Don't be smart-ass, Margaret. I'm talking to the guy. What do you want to ask?
I simply wanted to ask you, Rudy, so what do you propose? I heard you say, because as you said, and I'm thank God for you, Rudy, thank God that you're here.
You know, I'm going to lose it if I keep hearing that guy.
Yeah, you have to let the woman speak.
Thank you. Thank God that you're here. Lonnie Spinner.
Did you understand what she said?
Yeah, I understand everything.
I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
Okay, so that's 3-1, so we win.
Oh, no, wait just a minute.
What do you mean you win?
Thank God.
It is a dramatic statement.
Let me clear this up, Phil. Dina Eastwood needs the understanding of a man who speaks the language of love and the language of healing. She is in need of a man. Maybe this is not the role of Clint Eastwood, the man with no name. A man who made these movies and is a desperado. A man who, we all remember Clint Eastwood and the great movies that he's made. He's made a wonderful movies. And he look at him and he takes the gun out and he bang, 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 blows away all these guys, kill those five guys, my mule doesn't get it, you know. Who would ever forget? But Dina Eastwood, she's in need of this. I would go in, I would sit there, and Ms. Eastwood, this is Rudy Canosa. I know that you have never heard of me, and yet you do know my voice and what I'm about to say to you. You see, and then you see her eyes open.
Uh-huh.
And, well, what does uh-huh mean?
He's being a smartass again, Rudy. He's been doing this all night.
What does that mean, Phil?
Well, what it means is what I just said, uh-huh. I'm not impressed.
Well, will you please allow me to finish?
I know what you're going to say. I've heard it before. You're going to tell me that you're going to go in there to wherever this poor woman, Ms. Eastwood, and I think she's... What do you mean poor? She checked into a rehab for emotional problems. I believe that perhaps she's out now, but it doesn't mean that... What do you think? You're going to walk into a soft room or something?
I don't know where she is. I don't know. I have no idea. If I went to the doctor, I said, I'm here to see Dina Eastwood. Will you please tell me where she is? Where do you have her? Where is she being locked up? Where is this poor woman? And the doctor says, it's none of your business. I says, it is my business. I'm Rudy Canosa. I'm here to see the Dina Eastwood to say, la 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 la. And
then he's going to pick you up and throw you out of a window five floors up.
Wait a second. You can't get...
We'll be back with...
You just slobbered all over yourself.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I'm very proud of that. We'll be back with Rudy Canosa and the rest of his mental illness. I would like you to say, I'd like you to hear, not you to say it, I'll say it.
You want the audience to work.
No, I don't want the audience to do anything but just listen. I would like you to know that there is no news that Dina Eastwood is mentally unfit or anything. Rudy is flipping his lid like the Latin man that he am, and feels that, you know. So that's a lot of very interesting news. I don't want to go too far into that. We do have this NFL suit. You know, the NFL season is upon us. And it's great fun for the fans. It's great fun and games for the fans. But for the players, increasingly we are learning of the debilitating effects of football, or at least of this constant trauma to the head, even if you're wearing a helmet. Now, I don't know whether that's going to have anything to do with the development of better equipment. I think that's what they've got to do. I think that's what they got to do.
Well, they're wearing helmets now. How much better can they be?
They got to make a helmet so the guy's head doesn't get... squished and everything.
They're getting squished, man.
Well, the helmets that they're wearing are obviously not doing the job. I don't give a damn whether they're at least the guy's not getting a fractured skull. It's got nothing to do with it. Those helmets are supposed to protect those guys, and it ain't happening. And people can say all they want, you know, about, at least there isn't major damage. There are kids that are playing peewee football. There are kids that are playing this Pop Warner football that are getting... concussions, folks. Now, this is, I'm not kidding you. And, yes, they're recovering. But the fact is, it takes its toll on the gray matter. And so some of these children, yes, children, by the time they're ready to go into college, it's over, man. It's over. They got all kinds of medical issues. They got all kinds of problems. They might even already be dealing with this kind of depression that we were talking about, you know? Like the kind of depression I deal with every night when I walk in here and there's Margaret with her and the people.
You know, you have no compassion at all for those people. I want to say to the President, President Obama, have a care. Did you just fart?
No, I did not. I went...
The Bronx cheer.
Yeah, it's a Bronx cheer. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret can make her statement, as she's been promised to make by David G. Hall, though I do want to hear him again this evening open his big, fat mouth and say it's all cool. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall is going to join us here in a second. Margaret Gray with more on Syria and a heartfelt reminder, philhendryshow.com. Right now we're doing our video cast. I don't know if you guys have ever seen our show. It's pretty weird. I mean, it's weirder than you would imagine. So check us out at philhendryshow.com. It's philhendryshow.com. Our streaming video begins at 6 p.m. on Pacific Coast time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And we go all the way with the video cast until 1 a.m. Eastern. That would be 10 p.m. Pacific, right?
Yeah, it's 4 hours.
4 hours, exactly. And you can watch all of that with your BSP. David G. Hall joining us from the offices of Hendry Radio in Pasadena. And before Margaret comes on here, you wanted to make a statement, right?
I want to just reiterate, Phil, that Margaret is going to make a statement on behalf of the opposing point of view against the bombing and the blowing up, whatever they're going to do in Syria. I don't know. It's very important, but I'm not. That's not my job. My job is not to understand those things. My job is to go out and sell and position your show. And that's what we're doing right now. We're on the phone. We're taking, we're talking to people, asking them what do they think.
All of those people in the background?
Yeah, we're making phone calls. I mean, some of the phone calls may be personal, but a lot of them are people, calling out to the different stations. What do you think of the Phil Hendry Show? What, do you want to buy it? And so on.
Well, how many people are there?
Right here in this room that I'm in right now?
Yeah.
Right here, we probably have in the neighborhood of people.
How many?
About people.
How many people are in the room there?
I don't know. Probably about a half a dozen. I don't know.
It sounds like the room's full of people.
Some of it's a sound effect that I'm running, okay? Now, the point...
All right.
Why did you hang up on him?
Because you didn't hear that, huh?
Guy says he's got a sound tape.
A sound effects tape running.
Well, I don't know what that is, but am I allowed to start?
Yes. What?
I'm waiting for the music.
What music?
Oh my God.
Oh. Okay. Wait a minute. I didn't communicate. Margaret gets some music. Here it is. Here.
All right. Hold on for a minute.
You got? Are you doing this on purpose?
No, I forgot that. Margaret, I usually don't have people making political statements on the show, and then, oh yeah, by the way, they get music.
All right, Miss Gray, on 3, 2, 1, go.
Where's the mute?
Sorry. 3, 2, 1, go. Wait a minute. Wait, that was early.
Okay, I'll do it.
Where's the countdown?
Why did you hit that?
Oh, you're doing it?
Yes, get out of here. 3, 2, 1.
Thank you, Phil. I'm Margaret Gray on The Phil Hendry Show with one woman's opinion. President Obama has decided to side with the international community when it comes to dealings with the Syrian regime. Ban, what side would that be? That side will determine whether the American people join the forces of war, Bobby. For me, I know not what other people may choose, but give me liberty, give me death.
Is that it?
That's it. Well, what do you think?
What do I think of what?
That last line.
Patrick Hendry, great.
Oh, that was Patrick Hendry.
Are we practicing or are we doing this?
What's with this we? You got a turd in your pocket? Can you start it again, please?
Margaret, you know something? The audience is out there impatiently listening to this and wondering what it is.
They're wondering what it is because you keep butting in.
What's with this give me liberty or give me death?
I thought it was original.
3, 2, 1, go.
I'm not ready. Now...
3, 2, 1, go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Patrick... No, I'm not Patrick Hendry. Oh, we'll get a load of the... I'm so sorry, Phil. 3, 2, 1... Oh, I'm counting myself down.
I'll do it. 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm sorry. Stop. You're doing that like a real controlling man. Could you...
You know, I'm going to lose it here in about 5 seconds.
Sorry.
Three, two, one, go.
I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to One Woman's Opinion. This evening on the Phil Henry Show, we've heard quite a few opinions concerning the imminent attack of Syria by forces of the West, whether it's called NATO, the United States, or the New Alliance. Yes, we're powerful. Yes, we have weapons. Yes, we can destroy the world many times over. God knows America has the resources to do it. But is that why the good Lord put us here? I don't think so. Pardon me mentioning God. I don't believe in God in that I believe in the separation of church and state, but I do believe in invoking God's name when it comes to dropping enormous amounts of ordnance on some poor little crap stain of a country like Syria. Yes, Syria. Do you know that Syria at one time was a major tourist destination? You do? Because I didn't know that. I found that out yesterday when I was going through some of my husband's luggage, and I saw the picture of a very beautiful brunette with the words Lambicans. Why don't you... What happened?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
Frank asked me to...
Frank, is that you?
Yeah, I told Henry that... I don't know what in the hell it is you think you're doing, but I told her to turn you off.
Wait a minute, I...
Thanks a lot, Phil.
You got it, Frank.
You got it, Frank. You guys...
All right, thanks a lot, and thanks for nothing, okay? Who cares about what Frank's got in his luggage?
I do. Let me tell you what, and what that man's packet in his luggage...
In any event, folks, that's Margaret. So the Syria crisis, which of course is one of monumental proportions, is extremely serious. To that end, we bring on Don Mixa, who is the University of Washington engineering professor and certainly advises us and talks with us on matters having to do with politics and the like. Don, great to have you on the program this evening. To use the words of Bill O'Reilly, what say you?
I was kind of hoping you would not use a phrase like that, Phil, because it's so tired. What say you? Well, here's what I say. I say that President Obama has no business at all dropping any bomb, missile, any kind of ordnance at all on Syria. He does not have the credential. And I believe that President Obama was elected to be a peacemaker, not a war maker. I think that Syria, whatever mistakes they've made, can be dealt with by a consortium of internationally recognized countries and their internationally recognized leadership. I think Syria got me... God, I'm tired. It's been a really long day today, Phil.
All right, so do you want to just... Let me put you on hold for a minute, okay?
Say it again.
Put you on hold for a minute, okay? All right. What is it with these people, man? He hasn't had a nap?
Yeah, he sounds pretty tired.
That guy sounds tired all the time. I don't think I want him back on the show at all, you know? General Galen Shaw, who is a retired military and a man of great credentials, joins us now from his home in San Diego, California. And General Shaw, are you at home or are you out eating?
Well, Phil, I'm having dinner with my daughter and a couple of her friends, and we're at a place called Rubio's in San Diego. But I've been listening, Phil, with great interest to your program this evening, and do have a number of things that I want to say concerning this area. Oh, there you go.
You're at a restaurant?
Yeah, that's right. They got a tip. Is that it, honey? My daughter says that every time they get a good tip, they go over to the bar and they run the food. Way to do it. Hey. Okay, Phil, I'm having just a couple of drinks with my daughter and her friends, and we're enjoying a final evening together before my daughter goes back to school. But as we talk here about President Obama and we celebrate with our kids, and we celebrate the fact that there are so many young people, Phil, who are going to be going to college, and some will be joining the military. Yes, we do need a military, Phil, and I am a retired general, so I understand the need for military.
Hold on for just a minute. Is that distracting?
No.
That's not distracting me.
It's bugging the hell out of me.
What is?
This foghorn that's going off behind you.
Well, as I say, Phil, a foghorn is when the guys get a tip. Way to do it, Jerry. That's when they get a couple of bucks that's laid on the table. Some cheap creep finally pops up. But in any event, Phil, I believe that President Obama is going to be making a decision that could affect the lives of millions of people. And the millions of people that I'm talking about aren't necessarily the Syrian people, but they're also the... Well, now it's starting to bother me. The Syrian people...
How many tips are they laying out up there?
I don't know. They're really... Are you guys getting tipped that much? You're just bugging me, isn't it?
Yeah, we know you're on the radio.
Oh, they know I'm on the radio, so they're trying to wreck the interview.
All right, thanks a lot.
I apologize.
So when we get people, and if you've ever seen on television, they'll have guys that are doing a report, and they've got people jumping up and down and flipping the finger and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they try to keep those people from the camera these days, and that's what we have to do, okay? Somehow the word leaked out that I was going to interview General Shaw, and so the servers there at that bar or restaurant he's at started hitting that foghorn and wrecked the whole interview.
Well, that doddering old clown wasn't going to say anything anyway.
Well, wasn't that respectful of you?
Well, tell me I'm wrong.
All right, we're going to come back with the close of the radio show here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. More to come. Final segment and all that. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell is going to join us here, and we're going to talk about a headline that's, this is bound to be a controversial headline. Texters who distract drivers may share blame for crashes, according to the court. And I know that we're going to have Steve on tomorrow, right, bud?
Yeah, he's going to come back on tomorrow, but he's going to do like a promo now.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. With us is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Now, Steve, the texting is obviously dangerous. What is this law, and how does this put more teeth into the anti-texting laws that we have?
Well, this law, Mr. Henry, is a law that says that people, if someone gets into an automobile accident and they were texting, yeah, that was them. They should not have been texting. But also, it's going to mean that the person that was texting them is also responsible for the automobile accident. And that has particular...
Hold on for a minute. I just want to know, New Jersey Court of Appeals, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. New Jersey Appeals Court said its recent ruling is notable not just for trying to crack down on texting and driving, but for interpreting the way that technology has reshaped life. There was a kid who crashed his pickup truck into a married couple riding a motorcycle after his truck crossed the center line on a curve. He'd been texting with an acquaintance. Both of these people lost their left legs in the accident.
Oh, God. These people on a motorcycle.
Yes, sir. This was David and Lisa Kubert. They settled with Best after filing a lawsuit, but they also sued Best's acquaintance, Shannon Colonna, arguing that she was electronically present in Best's truck by texting him and was thus partially responsible for distracting him.
Distracting him?
Yeah, distracting him on the road.
Well, that doesn't sound fair.
Well, I think it is.
You do, huh? And why?
Well, I think the court's absolutely right. If you're texting somebody, you're an idiot. You deserve to go down for the count. But if there's somebody else that's texting you while you're driving...
What if they don't know you're driving?
Well,
I mean, if you're texting somebody, I've texted people many times, and I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing, you know?
I think in this case, he let her know, in a specific sense, Colonna won. The three-judge panel unanimously agreed Tuesday that there was insufficient evidence to determine whether Colonna was responsible for distracting Best, but they can find you guilty if they do find it. See what I'm saying?
So in other words, the law says that it is actionable against you if you text someone, even though you're not in the car, even though you're not with them. If you're texting someone driving, it is actionable to sue you because you're distracting that driver.
That is correct.
So the only reason why this Ms. Colonna did not get, that they did not find for the plaintiff, is because they could not prove she had, in fact, that she knew he was driving?
Well, I think it's that part, Matt, and that she had actually distracted him. The court language says when the sender has actual knowledge or specific reason to know from prior texting experience or otherwise that the recipient will view the text while driving, the sender has breached the duty of care to the public
by distracting the driver, okay? That's a very, very important rule, Mr. Henry, because in the case of Leanne Doherty and myself and Roy Hutchins that I want to bring up tomorrow, that Leanne Doherty sent me a picture that was totally in the realm of distracting, and I had no choice in the matter.
What do you mean you had no... What happened? Because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we're not really clear on this case, Steve.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What happened was is I had lost control. I was driving away from a job site in the Diamond Bar, California, and I lost control. I jumped a center divider, and I went through a chain-link fence, and basically I ran two of these golf carts. There were four people in two golf carts at a auto dealership, and I guess they were going around looking at the cars. I hit both of these, and I ran both of these right straight into a wall. The people inside the golf carts, fortunately, and I thank God for this, I got to tell you, I'm still emotional about it. The golf carts went through the wall, and the people were protected because they were buried under bricks and rubble. The only things that happened was bruising. I think there were some cracked ribs.
Your car?
Not my car, my truck, Mr. Henry. And before you make it all dramatic by going, your car, you know, I'm
not making it. Look, pal, you know, if you did something that is that produces some incredulity, you'll have to understand. Your truck jumped a center divider, went through a chain link fence, hit four people in two golf carts. Am I right?
Yes, sir, you're right.
Okay. And continued on driving those two golf carts through a wall?
Through the wall of an office, yeah.
And there they came to rest under rubble.
Under rubble.
Debris?
Yeah, under debris. I don't know. What do you mean by that? Rubble.
Rubble? Like,
the guy?
What guy?
He thinks you're talking about... Are you... Barney Rubble is a name. That's not a person.
Yeah.
Rubble, the definition of rubble is debris, bricks. Wow.
Well, all right. I didn't know that. I thought you said under rubble. I think...
Talk about under Barney Rubble.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
when you pause like that for a long time, though, it makes me look like a retard. And
I'm sorry if it does, but hey, you know, there's an old saying: truth hurts.
Wow.
Well, Steve, you have described a series of events here that blows me away. The fact that you were texting. The fact that you lost concentration.
Yeah, but I want to say that based on this ruling, Leanne Doherty also pushed that golf cart with them people through the wall and wrecked my truck, too.
Because she texted you a picture, and I'm beginning to get the idea here. You said she sent you a picture, and let me guess, was she naked?
I don't know if she was totally naked, but the part she sent me was very much naked. Yes, ma'am.
The part she sent you, okay. And did she know that you were driving?
Okay. See that?
All right, that's a very key question, according to you, right?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, it is. And that, we're going to go into court, and we're going to prove that yes, she did know.
All right, but you've yet to prove that.
We have not gone to court yet, no, sir. But I feel very confident that my lawyer is going to prove that when she sent a picture of it, and it come right into my truck, like, you know, as pretty as you please. And I'm down staring at it and everything like that.
How long did you look at it for?
Probably a good 10 seconds.
And your head was bent down looking at a text and not at the road?
That is correct, sir. But again, according to the New Jersey Appeals Court, or the State of Appeal, or whatever they call it.
The New Jersey Appellate Court.
All right, the Appellate Court. That she distracted me by sending me a picture of it, and I'm all looking at it and, you know, and everything, and I forgot about there's a truck that I'm driving.
You forgot about the truck? Phil, I don't think the law ever takes in. I don't think the law is there to say a man can be distracted to the point that he is unaware he's even driving a car.
Well, I don't know, but Steve, we'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow, and because we got to get going. That's a very, very fascinating case. It's also a little bit unbelievable that a guy, I agree with you, that a guy can be held, or someone else can be held liable for the distraction of a person to the extent that they forget they're driving a truck? I don't think that that's possible at all. World-famous Phil Henry Show, thank you, CJ, for taking controls tonight. And thank you, Margaret, Bud, and Robert. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you. Our post-game is our website and our show log on the website at philhenryshow.com. See you tomorrow night.
And God bless.
And the people of Syria.